this morning, we come to the end of this powerful letter called Hebrews. I started preaching through this book on October 1st, 2017. And with a few breaks along the way, today will mark my 56th sermon from this letter. I've really been going way too fast as we've been moving through things. But through the inspiration of God, Hebrews is written from a concerned pastor, a preacher, to Christians who have grown weary in trusting, obeying, and publicly confessing Jesus. And because he's a preacher and he intends that his brief word of exhortation would be read aloud to this Christian, these Christians, what he writes really moves along like a sermon. And this fact is the reason that I'm going to do something a bit unusual this morning, as you will learn momentarily. And the original Christians hearing this sermon came from a Jewish background. And because of trials and persecution, they were being tempted to go back to trusting the less culturally offensive old covenant rituals, ceremonies, and sacrifices, trusting in those things rather than trusting and confessing Jesus. And so the preacher of Hebrews urgently exhorts them that Jesus is better than all of this, and he alone is to be exclusively trusted and obeyed. Jesus is the one who fulfills everything that the old covenant pointed to. And so he's better than the old covenant rituals, ceremonies, and sacrifices. He's better than the old covenant priesthood. He's better than Abraham, Moses, David, and the mysterious priest Melchizedek. He's better than all. And thus, he is a better hope. And since Jesus is better, the call is to persevere in trusting him alone, even when doing so means earthly suffering. And the preacher wants Christians to live by faith in Christ alone and to fix their hope on him and the hope of heaven, rather than shrinking back in unbelief and trying to find comfort merely in this world. Now, the main body of the letter ends in chapter 13, verses 20 through 21, with the rich benediction that we looked at last week. Verses 22 to 25 are really more of a postscript, a PS, in which the preacher makes some personal and yet significant comments. So let me lead us in prayer, and then let's hear these closing words. Our Father, we thank you for your living and active word. We pray you would help us to hear, to understand, and to respond in true faith to what you say to us today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So hear the living and active word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 22 to 25. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation. For I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints, and those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. In these closing words, the preacher really pleads with his hearers to bear with his sermon, to bear with his brief word of exhortation. In other words, he wants them to accept all that he has said, his scriptural instructions, his strong encouragements, and his stern warnings. He wants them to accept all of these as valid, true, and essential for the well-being of their souls. He then gives some updates about Timothy, who had apparently been imprisoned, and he sends along greetings from himself and others to all of the leaders and to all of the saints. And his final words, grace be with you all, magnify the inexhaustible grace of God that infuses the entire sermon. Well, because the original recipients would have heard this whole sermon read aloud, it seemed fitting as we finish Hebrews to simply do the same today. And so that's what I want to do. That's a little bit unusual, to read aloud the whole of this powerful sermon of Hebrews. Now, I'm going to be reading from an older translation, the 1901 American Standard Version, and I'd encourage you to just listen as I read. You're going to hear a few words and phrases that aren't as common in our daily conversation, but this translation has a good rhythm and a good cadence, and it's a very literal translation. Now, no doubt you're going to hear much that will probably be unclear and confusing, but also no doubt that God speaks through His Word, and He's going to help us hear and understand what He is saying to us today. And so I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to bear with this word of exhortation. Today, let's hear God's Word and hear the sermon to the Hebrews. In many portions and in many manners, God, having of old time spoken to the fathers in the prophets, has at the end of these days spoken to us in a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the ages, who, being the effulgence of His glory, and the very image of His substance, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become by so much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He say at any time, "You are my Son, this day I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." And when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "And let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, "Your throne, O God, is unto the age of the age, and the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you continue, and they shall wax old as does a garment, and as a mantle shall you roll them up, as a garment, and they shall be changed, but you are the same, and your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels has He said at any time, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies the footstool of your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for those, for the sake of those who shall inherit salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which, having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by manifold powers and by distributions of the Holy Spirit according to His own will? For not to angels did He subject the inhabited world to come of which we speak, but one has somewhere testified, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You made Him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned Him with glory and honor. And you set Him over the works of your hands, and you subjected all things under His feet. For in that he subjected all things to Him, He left nothing that is not subject to Him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to Him. But we behold him who has been made a little while lower than the angels, Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for everyone. For it befitted him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Since then, the children are sharers in blood and flesh. He also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and he might deliver these as many as through fear of death were all their lifetime liable to bondage. For verily, not of angels does he take hold, but he takes hold of the seed of Abraham. Therefore it behooved him in all things to be made like his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor those who are tempted. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus, who was faithful to him who made him, as also was Moses in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by so much as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things that were afterward to be spoken. But Christ as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you should hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as at the provocation, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where our fathers tried me by proving me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was displeased with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, as long as it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of the Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm until the end, while it is said, today, if you should hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For who, when they heard, provoked? Nay, did not all those who came out of Egypt by Moses? And with whom was he displeased 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose limbs fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had the good tidings proclaimed to us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because they were not united by faith with those who hearkened. For we enter into that rest, we who have believed. Even as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere of the seventh day thus, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And in this again, they shall not enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some should enter into it, and those who formerly received good tidings failed to enter in because of disobedience, he again defines a certain day, today, saying in David, so long a time afterward, even as has been said before, today, if you should hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterward of another day. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man may fall in the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-mouthed sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom is our reckoning. Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one who has been in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest being taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And he's able to bear gently with those ignorant and going astray, for he himself also is compassed with infirmity, and by reason of it is bound, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but when he is called of God, even as was Aaron. And so the Christ also did not glorify himself to be made a high priest, but it was he who spoke to him, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. And as also in another place he says, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the cause of eternal salvation, named of God a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Now concerning whom we have many things to say and of hard interpretation, seeing you have become dull of hearing. For though by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again of someone to teach you the rudiments of the beginning of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the word of the beginning of the Christ, let us press on to perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the teaching of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible, as to those who were once enlightened, having tasted of the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and having fallen away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. For the land that has drunk the rain that comes oft upon it and brings forth a crop fit for those for whose sake it is also tilled receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is rejected and nigh to a curse whose end is to be burned. But we are persuaded concerning you, beloved, of better things and of things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love that you showed toward his name, in that you served the saints and still serve. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence to the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when to Abraham, God himself saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation. Wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, he interposed with an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil, whereas a forerunner, Jesus entered for us, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham divided a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, that is, king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, neither having beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth out of the chief spoils. And they indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest's office have commandment to take the tithes from the people according to the law, that is from their brethren, though these have come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not counted from them has taken tithes from Abraham and has blessed him who has the promises. But without dispute, the lesser is blessed by the better. And here, men who die receive tithes, but there is one of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And, so to say, through Abraham, even Levi, who receives tithes, has paid tithes, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, if indeed perfection was obtainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people had received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise up after the order of Melchizedek and not be reckoned after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are said has partaken of another tribe, from which no man has given attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord has sprung up out of Judah, in regard to which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. And it is yet more abundantly evident if after the likeness of Melchizedek there rises up another priest who has been made not after a law of fleshly commandment, but after the power of an indissoluble life. For it is witnessed, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is a disannulling of a foregoing commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. And a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw nigh to God. And inasmuch as it is not without the taking of an oath, for they indeed have been made priests without an oath, but with an oath by him who says of him, the Lord swore, and he will not repent himself, you are a priest forever. By so much also has Jesus become the surety of a better covenant. And they indeed have been made priests many in number, because by death they are hindered from continuing. But he, because he abides forever, has the priesthood unchangeable. Therefore, also, he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest befitted us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. For he did this once for all. And when he offered up himself, for the law appoints men high priests having infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was after the law, appoints a son, perfected forever. Now, the chief point in the things that we are speaking, we have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, seeing that there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Even as Moses is warned when he's about to make the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern that was shown you on the mount. But now he has obtained a ministry the more excellent, by so much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will accomplish with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah a new covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day of my taking their hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not regard them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and on their heart will I write them. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And no wise shall they teach every man his fellow citizen, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I no wise remember any more. Now in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first old, but that which is becoming old and waxes aged is nigh to vanishing away. Now, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first in which were the lampstand and the table and the presentation of the bread, which is called the holy place. And after the second veil, the tabernacle that is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, in which was a golden pot holding the manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tablets of the covenant. And above it, cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which things we cannot now speak particularly. Now these things, having been thus prepared, the priests go in continually into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services. But into the second, the high priest alone, once in the year, and not without blood, which he offers for himself and for the errors of the people, the Holy Spirit signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been made manifest while the first tabernacle is yet standing, which is a figure for the present, according to which are offered both gifts and sacrifices that cannot, as touching the conscience, make the worshiper perfect, being only with foods and drinks and various baptisms, ordinances of flesh imposed until a time of reformation. But Christ having come, a high priest of the good things to come, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, nor yet through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify to the cleanness of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, how much more shall that cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be brought the death of him who made it. For a covenant is in force where there has been death, for it never avails while he who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant has not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled the book itself and all the people, saying it toward you. Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with the blood. And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from shedding of blood, there is no remission. It was necessary, therefore, that the copies of the things in the heavens should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with hands, the antitype of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place year by year with blood not his own, else must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, has he been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is laid up for men once to die, and after this judgment, so the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time, apart for apart from sin to those who wait for him unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw nigh. Else would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having been once cleansed, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made year by year of sins. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not will, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me to do, O God, your will." Saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you did not will, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, then he said, lo, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest indeed stands day by day ministering and oftentimes offering the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he has said, this is the covenant that I will covenant with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their heart, and upon their mind I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities I will no wise remember anymore. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, a way that he dedicated for us, new and living through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another for the rousing of love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire that shall devour the opposers. A man who has set at naught the law of Moses dies without compassion by two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment do you think shall he be judged worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant in which he was sanctified a common thing and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense." And again, "the Lord shall judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were enlightened, you endured a great contest of sufferings, partly being made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly becoming partakers with those who were so used. For you both had compassion on those who were in bonds and took joyfully the despoiling of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Do not cast away, therefore, your boldness, which has great recompense. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, how short, he who comes shall come and shall not tarry, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of shrinking back to destruction, but of faith to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the essence of things hoped for. It's the proof of things not seen. For in this, the elders had witness borne to them. By faith, we understand that the ages have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that appear. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it he, though dead, yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had witness borne to him that he had been well-pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out to a place that he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking to the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. And there also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the heaven in multitude, and as the sand that is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Yea, he who had gladly received the promises was offering up his only begotten, to whom it was said, "In Isaac shall your seed be called," having accounted that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he also, in figure, received him back. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was nigh, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the recompense. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the besmearing of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, while the Egyptians, having made trial, were swallowed up. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. And by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient, having received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the mouth of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to flight camps of aliens. Women received their dead by a resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others received trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes of the earth. And these all, having had witness borne to them through their faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better, having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses compassed about us, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you not wax weary, fainting in your souls. For you have not yet resisted unto blood, wrestling against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation that reasons with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. It's for chastening that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have been made partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them respect. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits, chastened us as seemed good to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness? All chastening seems for the present to be not joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yields peaceable fruit to those who have been trained by it, the fruit of righteousness. Therefore, straighten the hands that hang down and the paralyzed knees, and make straight paths for your feet, that that which is lame may not be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord, looking carefully lest there be any man who falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and through this the many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of food sold his birthright. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for a place of repentance he did not find, though he sought it diligently with tears. For you have not come to a thing that might be touched, and to burning, and to blackness, and to thick gloom, and to tempest, and to trumpet sound, and to a voice of words, which those who heard entreated that no word more should be spoken to them, for they could not endure that which was enjoined. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to a festal gathering and assembly of firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, mediator of a new covenant, and to blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. See that you not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that have been made, that those things that are not shaken may remain. Therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, through which let us offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let love of the brethren continue. Forget not to show love to strangers, for through this some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in bonds as bound with them, those who are ill-treated as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Be free from the love of money, content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will no wise fail you, nor will I any wise forsake you. So that with good courage we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what shall man do unto me? Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God, and considering the issue of their manner of life, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and unto the ages. Be not carried away by various and strange teachings, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not by foods in which those walking have not been profited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered to go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we do not have here an abiding city, but we seek after the one that is to come. Through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of lips that make confession of his name. But of doing good and of liberality, be not forgetful, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey your leaders and submit, for they are sleepless over your souls as those who shall give an account. that they may do this with joy and not with groaning, for this would not be profitable for you. Pray for us, for we are persuaded that we have a good conscience, desiring to live honorably in all things. And I exhort you the more exceedingly to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep in the blood of an eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory to the ages of the ages. Amen. But I exhort you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. You have promised that your word never returns to you void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which you have sent it. And as we have sat in the hearing of your word, so may it indeed accomplish your purposes in each one of our lives. For our joy and our peace and our hope in you and for your eternal glory. We thank you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.